This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In today's program, you can hear our feature, The African Synod, The Church Alive in Africa Today. First, however, our bulletin of church news, followed by African News Panorama. We shall close today's program with Millennium Appointment. I am Festus Tarawali. Pope Francis concluded his three-day pilgrimage of peace to South Sudan on Sunday with a celebration of an open-air mass at the John Garang Mausoleum in the capital, Juba. South Sudan was the second leg of his two-nation African trip that began in the Democratic Republic of Congo on the 31st of January. The Pope was joined in South Sudan by the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, and the moderator of the Church of Scotland, Dr. Ian Greenchills. In his homily on Sunday, the Pope made a final appeal for peace in South Sudan, asking the country's citizens to lay down their weapons and forgive one another. John Baptist Tumusiime was in Juba to cover the papal visit and sent us this report.
Pope Francis concluded his three-day pilgrimage of peace to South Sudan on Sunday with the celebration of an open-air mass at the John Garang Mausoleum in the capital, Juba. The mass was attended by thousands of the faithful, some of whom had spent a whole night at the gate of the mausoleum so that they could participate in the liturgy. People waved national flags, drummed, ululated, and sang songs as the Pope entered the venue and moved through the crowds in his Pope Mobile before the beginning of Holy Mass. In his homily, woven around the themes of peace, unity, reconciliation, and mutual forgiveness for past wrongs, the Holy Father appealed to South Sudanese to shun the temptation of hatred and revenge and any other acts that may trigger violence between tribes and ethnic groups, stressing that such attitudes and actions are obstacles to peace and prosperity. He made an appeal for an end to tribalism, financial wrongdoing, and the practice of favoring one's close friends in political appointments, which he said are at the root of the many problems the country is facing. He called upon the faithful to build good human relationships as a way of curbing division, corruption, and injustices. He also pleaded with the South Sudanese leaders to focus on ending conflict and intercommunal violence in the country. At the end of Holy Mass, before heading to the airport to return to Rome, the Pope delivered a farewell address and thanked the people of South Sudan for the affection they had shown him. He encouraged them not to lose hope and to lose no opportunity to build peace. He prayed that hope and peace may dwell among them and in their country. Pope Francis arrived in South Sudan on Friday alongside Archbishop Justin Welby, the head of the Anglican Communion and who is also the Archbishop of Canterbury, and the Moderator General of the Presbyterian Church of Scotland, the Right Reverend Ian Greenshields. The three visited South Sudan to give support to the peace process and especially to encourage South Sudanese and their leaders to work for peace. They received a warm welcome from both the public, the faithful, and the state. On Saturday afternoon, they met with the victims of the civil conflict which broke out in 2013, who were brought to Juba from various internally displaced people's camps, and urged the government to resume the peace process and restore dignity to the millions who have been affected by the conflict. On Saturday evening, the three hosted an ecumenical prayer service at the John Garang Mausoleum and called for Christian unity and also urged the faithful to work and pray for peace. They thanked South Sudanese Christians for their deep commitment to promote reconciliation, noting that that gesture was a shining testimony of faith. In Juba, South Sudan, I am John Baptist Tumusime.
On the return flight from South Sudan to Rome on Sunday, Pope Francis was joined by the Archbishop of Canterbury and the moderator of the Church of Scotland for a press conference. The Pope, in his remarks, reflected on several topics, including the many wars being fought around the world. The whole world is at war and self-destruction. We must stop in time, the Pope said. You can read more on the press conference by visiting our web portal, vaticannews.va. Meanwhile, in an interview aboard the papal plane, Andrea Tornelli, our editorial director, asked the Archbishop of Canterbury about his impressions of the just-ended ecumenical pilgrimage to South Sudan.
I think the trip comes with an effect at the local South Sudan, which I'll come back to, and an effect at the global. The fact that these three religious leaders have gone together for the first time ever, certainly since the Reformation, before which two of our churches did not exist, is a sign of hope for peace and reconciliation around the world. If those who spent 150 years killing each other and the next 350 condemning each other, or 300 condemning each other, can now find themselves seeking peace and reconciliation together, then anyone can. I don't normally wear it. At the moment, I'm wearing the ring that Pope Paul VI gave to Michael Ramsay in the 1960s as the first sign of the link between our churches. And that link, that ring, and then the pastoral staff that the Pope gave me in 2016, those together speak powerfully of a change of heart. That brings me to South Sudan. We need a change of heart. The move of the Spirit in the churches, especially many moves within the charismatic movement, I would suggest, and moves among congregations at a local level, have broken down many of the barriers between us and have enabled us to live ecumenism. So you have ecumenism acted out. The Second World War and since, and the Iron Curtain and communism gave us the ecumenism of suffering. And the ecumenism of carrying the gospel of peace, both for physical peace in war and peace in the human heart, is the third thing. And in South Sudan, my cry and prayer is for the human hearts of the leadership to be changed. When I was speaking out there the last couple of days, you could hear the shouts from the crowd when any of us mentioned peace, the security of women, and the need for an end to corruption. The people of South Sudan are calling for peace. The leaders must give it.
That was the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, speaking there to our editorial director, Andrea Tornelli. As per tradition, Pope Francis, upon his return to Rome on Sunday from South Sudan, made a brief stop at the Basilica of St. Mary Major. The Pope prayed briefly before the ancient icon of Mary, Savior of the Roman people, according to a press release from the Holy See's press office. The Pope thanked Our Lady for her maternal protection during his apostolic trip to the Democratic Republic of Congo and South Sudan. He had visited the papal basilica a week ago, ahead of his departure. In other news, Pope Francis has sent two separate telegrams to offer words of condolences to the people of Turkey and Syria following a devastating earthquake that struck the region on Monday, killing over 2,000 people, according to some estimates. In the telegram signed on his behalf by Vatican Secretary of State Cardinal Pietro Parolin, the Pope says he's saddened by the huge loss of life caused by the earthquake. His words of closeness and assurances of prayers came in telegrams sent to the apostolic nuncios of both countries. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
Armed Father Paul Samasumo. As Nigeria prepares to elect a new president on the 25th of February to take over from Muhammadu Buhari, there are fears that violence might discourage some of the country's eligible voters from casting their ballots. The violence is perpetrated by thugs hired by desperate politicians, especially targeting rivals in their strongholds. The increase and proliferation of weapons in Nigeria is making election security management problematic. Already in some parts of the country, election officials have been targeted. Nigeria's southeast region is seen as particularly vulnerable. The region consists of five states, which include Ebonyi, Enugu, Abia, Anambra, and Imo. Mali's interim government on Sunday said the head of the UN Peacekeeping Mission's Human Rights Division, William Andali, had 48 hours to leave the country as he had been declared a persona non grata. The Malian authorities have come under pressure for alleged human rights violations reportedly perpetrated by Malian armed forces in partnership with a Russian private military contractor, the Wagner Group. One UN peacekeeper from South Africa was killed in Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo on Sunday when a helicopter operated by the peacekeeping force came under fire while it was in mid-air. The UN mission in Congo and South Africa's military have confirmed the development. The helicopter came under fire after taking off from the city of Beni in the early afternoon. Another South African peacekeeper was also wounded in the attack, but he was able to continue flying and landed safely at the airport of the provincial capital, Goma. Democratic Republic of Congo's government is blaming the M23 rebel group, which is in frequent combat with the Congolese army in the region. The M23 spokesperson, Willy Ngoma, denied involvement of the rebel group. Almost 2 weeks after the death of a popular Cameroonian radio journalist known as Martinez Zogo, the country's authorities have questioned an influential media owner. Jean-Pierre Amogou Belinga, a Cameroonian media owner, is suspected of being the mastermind of the assassination of Zogo. Belinga's media group, L'Anecdote, confirmed that its owner was undergoing questioning by the Gendarmerie's top institution. Martinez Zogo's mutilated body was found on the 22nd of January in Yaoundé. The 51-year-old Zogo was the host of a popular daily radio show that regularly tackled cases of corruption and embezzlement of funds by public figures. You're tuned to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
The African Synod, the Church Alive in Africa Today.
Hello and welcome to the program. I am Festus Tarawali. Pope Francis returned to the Vatican on Sunday afternoon after his six-day apostolic visit to the Democratic Republic of Congo and his ecumenical pilgrimage for peace to South Sudan, a pilgrimage he undertook along with the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, and the moderator of the Church of Scotland, Dr. Ian Greenshields. During Mass on Sunday in Juba, the Pope made a final appeal for peace in South Sudan. At the conclusion of the papal trip, my colleague John Baptist Tumusime caught up with Bishop Christian Carlasare of Rumbek Diocese. He began by asking him about the importance of the just-ended visit to South Sudan.
The coming of the Pope here, we know why he came. To give us a summary of the importance of his coming here.
Yes, the visit of Pope Francis has been extremely important to the people of South Sudan because since he was elected as a Pope, the country was the youngest nation in the world as he gained the independence in 2011. And then he broke into a conflict that was so bad and so disturbing and so frustrating for the people that they found in the Pope a person that was always mentioning about South Sudan, praying for South Sudan. And they felt that beside the international community and the humanitarian help, actually, the greatest support in their suffering was the prayer of this holy man, the Holy Father, Pope Francis, and the presence of the Church among them. And so when the Pope invited the leaders to Rome for that retreat, and then there was also that gesture of kissing the feet, I think everybody were astonished and really loved the humility of Pope Francis, that in a very simple way was saying to their leaders, please, your ministry or your authority is service, and you are at the service of the citizens. Of course, I think his coming is like to give to the people what is theirs. He had to give first attention to the institutions of South Sudan, to call them for peace. But at the same time, the Pope had to come to see the people that are those that carry the wounds of this terrible situation and the conflict in South Sudan. And I think people was like to thank him. And gathering together was like to say, you are our Father. And we feel that you have been embracing us, and we are standing with you. And at the same time, the Pope and the prayer of the Holy Father would be a great blessing for the people in a time of uncertainty, frustration, to encourage them that peace is possible. There is always a way to peace. We have only to walk on that way, all together.
Many people have been also impressed by the presence of the Archbishop of Canterbury, and the moderator of the Church of Scotland, the role they have played. Now, I would like to ask, what role have the churches played in the peace process, in the stabilization of this country?
It is really impressive that there is this visit together of these leaders. And it is, I would say, providential. It is a great gift. It is acknowledging that in the country there has been a common commitment of all the churches through the South Sudan Council of Churches, that it is in this country some communion not only among the Protestant churches, but where the Catholic Church had also a very great role. A council that had been dialoguing with the institutions, with the different communities, especially where there were conflicts, and even with some militias, let us say. They'd be involved to promote dialogue wherever there were conflict or tensions, to calm down the situation and bring and giving, calling all these stakeholders to the reality and the suffering of the people. Therefore, this common ecumenical visit was to acknowledge that when we look at Jesus and we preach the gospel, we actually, all Christians, find ourselves on the same path. And we are not divided, as in our countries there are ethnic divisions, let us say. In the church we get beyond those divisions that are there, unfortunately, because of our past. We get over that and we find ourselves that we are all children of the same Father, we are all Christians, and we can work together.
Actually, when I saw these three church leaders together, especially at the ecumenical prayer service, and also when they met the displaced people, what came to my mind was that this is a clear message that religion is not there to divide. Religion is there to unite. Religion can provide solutions.
I believe so. Even the Pope in his magisterium often said that any religion that would promote violence is actually not a true religion. I really believe that religion will help humanity and will help us to acknowledge all the differences that are among us as a great wealth, a richness that God gave us. And this diversity is not division, but can be lived in unity.
Now, you have been in South Sudan for many years. For me, this is the second time I come here. The first time I came was in 2005. They had just had a peace agreement. I had come for holidays, then I came here just to see what was happening. But the way we were received, it was very, very good reception. Is this the nature of the people here, or it was because big people were coming to this country and there was no need to cause chaos and a bad image about the country?
No, I think in South Sudan, like in most African countries, if not all, a visitor is always a blessing. It is not a person to fear. Is not a person that we don't know what he would bring. When there is a visitor, there is always a blessing, and so he has to be welcomed. And I always witnessed that openness to welcome someone that is coming, and also people that are important, like the Holy Father and other leaders. But this is in-depth, really, in the heart of the people here in South Sudan, to welcome those that come to visit, because they have always a gift from God that they may bring.
That was Bishop Christian Karlasare of Rumbek Diocese in South Sudan, speaking there to John Baptist Tumusime. And that's all for this edition. Till the same time next week, I am Festus Tarawali.
You are welcome to this week's edition of Millennium Appointment. Pope Francis, the Anglican Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, and the moderator of the Church of Scotland, the Right Reverend Ian Greensheds, concluded their ecumenical visit to South Sudan on Sunday with a call to the leaders and citizens of the country to work for peace. The three church leaders demonstrated that religion is not a source of conflict, but a solution. What they want is for Christians in South Sudan and citizens of other religions to work together to establish lasting peace in the country. This idea is very clear in the motto that guided their visit, which was taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 21, that all may be one. This was the prayer of Jesus Christ, that his disciples may be united as brothers and sisters, as he is united with the Father. Bishop Yunani Trile Tombe is the president of the Sudan and South Sudan Catholic Bishops' Conference. I asked him what role the churches have played in the ongoing peace process in South Sudan.
All churches in Juba, they actually have a regular letter written to the heads of our country, but also encounter personally the leaders, encouraging and urging for peace and reconciliation. So in the area of peace and reconciliation, it is worked out by all churches, not only the Catholic Church. They have been part and partial of the move, that there is a dialogue, guns are turned down, and there is stability in the country. And this has been really strong stand of all the churches. They are prophetic voice has always been there. And I think that we are playing our own role, and our voice reaches the government. We expect them to hear the prophetic voice and begin to dialogue and well, seriously, to bring peace in our country. So the role is played in communion.
On the part of the Universal Church, is the Holy See playing any fundamental role in this?
Through the Holy Father, there has been a lot of a call for dialogue and peace. They managed also to bring the leaders together, the fighting parties together, even to Rome, where the dialogue, they were helped to continue in peace. But besides the Holy Father, several Sundays, called the church, the whole church, universal church, to pray for South Sudan. We hear that now and then through the Angelus from Rome, the universal church has brought South Sudan, the new country, into the broader Universal Church to pray for and to support the growth of this church here. So we are actually grateful for this move of the Holy Father and the Universal Church for bringing us into the light where the world is not known. They know us more because of this push of the Holy Father and the Universal Church bringing us into common with the people.
The 2018 peace agreement between government and rebels to now the first Vice President Riek Machar, we thank God is still holding, but it is shaky. Of course, we see that it has suffered a number of setbacks. I want to ask you, what are the main stumbling blocks to peace in South Sudan?
Surely, since that encounter and peace agreement, there is relative calm and stability. Peace is a process. It's not much what is the stumbling, but it's a process. Peace is a process and building and many factors. So it takes time to bring these people together. It takes time to heal the wounds of the past. It takes time to dialogue, to make it practical. There are processes, the process of healing and reconciliation, and it really takes time, and the church is part of that. Strengthen this, we make it more practical and more serious taken. There are more obstacles. It is a moment now of coming closer together to cement what has been already agreed on to make it practical.
Bishop Yunani Trile Tombe, the ordinary of El Obeid Catholic Diocese and the president of the Sudan and the South Sudan Catholic Bishops Conference. I am Johnny Baptist Tumusime.
You have been listening to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio. In our next program at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our feature, Justice and Peace. I am Festus Tarawali, and do join us then. Praise be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.